Hey, everybody. The Work in Sports podcast is brought to you by Georgetown. Georgetown, one of the best schools in the nation, offers a part-time master's in sports industry management that prepares you to excel in the global sports industry. This is an incredible program. And for those of you who are currently working, developing your career, and want to take that extra step, this program is ideal because it's catered to working professionals. The program offers flexible options to take classes online, on campus, or through a combination of both, so you don't have to interrupt your career to earn your degree. You'll leave the program with the communication, business, and leadership strategies that will position you for success. To learn more about this really cool program, visit scs.georgetown.edu/workinsports. One more time, use this special link to get more information about the program, scs.georgetown.edu/workinsports. All right, let's start the countdown.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0, ignition, liftoff.
Hey, everybody, I'm Brian Clapp, VP of Content and Engaged Learning at workinsports.com, and this is the Work in Sports podcast. I feel like we have a lot to talk about today, big picture stuff, so we're just going to really jump into things. Great question today coming up from Giovanna. Giovanna is a member of our private Facebook group and posted a really great question yesterday that we're going to dig into soon. But I do want to first answer a question from a friend of mine, someone who wishes to remain anonymous. They slipped into my DMs. They threw me this question, and I think it's very, very timely and important. This friend asked, "Hey, Brian, I have an interview coming up this week, and I am very excited about it. I've heard you talk about first impressions a lot on your show, and I value its importance as well. Handshakes, eye contact, smiles, all important stuff. But I have to admit, normally, under normal circumstances, I hate handshakes. I'm a bit of a germaphobe by nature, but I struggle through it in these instances because I value the importance of the first impression. But now, with coronavirus and the instances of community transmission, is it fair for me to avoid a handshake completely? Friend who slipped into my DMs? Yes, 100%. Let's get into this, okay? I won't deny that there's a part of me that when I first read this thinks, ugh, I hate this catch-22, because that awkward first moment could be damaging and we should all just suck it up and shake the hand. But you know what? That's crappy advice. You know, my first instinct, you have to sometimes take a deep breath and say, wait, that's not, let's think about this a second, okay? So let's get to the good advice. Let's be real. If someone is offended right now by you not wanting skin-to-skin contact, that person's an a-hole, period. I think there's a way to do it respectfully and proactively that helps avoid any awkwardness. So you have to think ahead. You have to know you're going to be in a situation where there's going to be handshaking, right? And you have to know this is going to take place and you have to be the first mover. So take this strategy to heart. You think ahead and you start your motion before the other person moves forward to shake hands. And you raise your hand high towards your shoulder and start to wave courteously. So you make eye contact, raise the hand up, so in an away movement, and wave from distance before you're in that close in, lean in, shake hand move. You do that before the other person extends their hand because then you're signaling like, hey, this is what we're doing, right? We're doing this differently. You do the wave and you say, hey, John, nice to meet you, while making eye contact, waving at them. If anyone says anything like, oh, we're not doing handshakes, because I'm sorry, some people can't help themselves. They have to be a meathead. It's lodged in their DNA. Just be respectful and say something while smiling, like it feels like an appropriate choice or something like that. You know, something just to get rid of the conversation and move forward. If they push any further, this is a red flag. This is likely not someone you'd want to be around in any work role anyway, because they're just going to be that belligerent person that's always looking to start fights. Put this in your data file and remember you are choosing them as much as they are choosing you. And if you don't like them and you don't like this vibe that they're sending, that's okay. I don't think this will happen. I think a polite wave with eye contact sends a signal, especially in today's time. It's just a very simple signal. We're not doing that. And at this time in our history, that's quite understandable. Again, make your move early, take charge with the wave. So there's no awkward hand stretching and you start, you know, retching like, oh God, no, I can't do that. Now, I want to go a little step deeper because I actually think there's an interesting message in here that we can push this conversation forward. Everybody who listens to this show knows I'm not a big quotes guy, not a big fan of the posters with quotes. And I seem to say that a lot, but there's a reason for that. But I do have a few movie or book type moments that always rattle around in my head. They bounce around and they're top of mind when I'm put in certain situations because I think they're very insightful. One is from the movie The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo, which is a great book series, decent movie, but it's very applicable here. All the books are really good. The crazy story, too, that the author who wrote these books and made it big died, I think, during the writing of the third book. So it's like, man, you make it huge. You're all of a sudden, and he died climbing a flight of stairs. I think he had a heart attack. Anyway, I'm going off subject. I won't get into the full scene and set the stage of this entire quote, but I will suffice it to say the bad guy says to the good guy, sometimes the fear of offending can be stronger than the fear of pain. Okay, so let's break that down because it's going to take a second to get that to all sink in. Would you shake someone's hand knowing it could harm you because you're afraid to offend them? That's the question, right? I'm afraid to offend this other person, so I'm going to shake their hand and sacrifice my own thoughts, my own beliefs, my own fears because I'm afraid of offending them more. Sometimes the fear of offending can be stronger than the fear of pain. Really think about that. Would you shake someone's hand knowing it could hurt you just because you're afraid to offend them? Think about this in your daily life. Have you ever made that choice that you really, really questioned just because you were afraid to offend the other person? I've known women who went out on dates with guys they hated because they were afraid to offend them. I've known guys who went base jumping or some other risky move because they didn't want to offend the friend who booked the surprise trip. Are these smart choices? Ask yourself, what's more important, your fear of pain or your fear of offending? I'm going fear of pain. Right? Like, and that might make me a jerk. That might make me not the nicest person, or so you might call it selfish or whatever. I think that's smart, right? Don't make decisions, especially important decisions, based on your fear of offending somebody else. They'll get over it. And if they don't, then they weren't that great of a friend anyway, or they weren't that important in your life. Make your choices based on what you truly believe is right or safe for you, for your family, for whoever it may be. My wife and I get into this a lot of time with our kids. Okay. We'll get an offer, and this could happen. I have three kids, right? They're all under 12 years old. We get an offer for a play date with one of our kids. You know, come on over to our kid's place. We'll pick them up. We'll feed them. We'll bring them back. Really nice gestures, right? But maybe we know the friend's parents aren't really top notch. We've observed enough to have questions about their choices and the way they run their household or the way they observe or they watch what the kids are up to or what they let them do. Or maybe we just don't know them at all, right? That's a lot of trust to put in charge of my second grader who can't really fend for himself yet. So we sit there thinking to ourselves, this is my wife and I, is this the right choice? Should we let him go? Is this important to social development? Is this a necessary part of the human experience? Or is this just not a safe choice and we're even considering it because we're afraid to offend the parent who offered? And we always come back to this, right? We always go back and say, you know what? I'm not going to let my fear of offending somebody else put my kid in a situation that could be dangerous or at least unpredictable. Now, that means other parents may talk shit about us. They may think we're aloof. They may think we're helicopter parents, which is crap. But at the end of the day, I'm less worried about offending someone else than I am about putting my kid in a bad situation. And I'm telling you, this is kind of, for me at least, was life-changing perspective because it applies to almost everything and every choice you make in life. It's like, why am I making this choice? Am I making it because I want somebody else to feel better? Or am I making it because I think it's the right choice for me? And I think sometimes with our decision-making, it is absolutely 100% not selfish to say, no, I'm not going to shake your hand because, I mean, look at the world we're in right now. Look at what's going on. It's 100% okay. All right, that was just the intro question, but it's a soapbox moment a little bit. I understand that. And maybe some of you are like, oh my God, he's totally paranoid. But really, I think it's an important message is, you know, keep your head about you. I don't think it's too offensive to say, you know, to do a proactive move to start to wave instead of shaking hands. It's just, I think that's smart. I think it's logical. I really do. Don't worry about offending people. They'll get over it. All right, let's get to the bigger question. Well, not bigger, but different. A totally different subject. This one's from Giovanna. Giovanna posted on the Work in Sports Facebook page. Actually, not the Work in Sports Facebook page. The Work in Sports podcast Facebook page. Just want to be specific. That is our private group that anyone can join. You just have to go to Work in Sports podcast, search the box in Facebook, answer a few quick questions so they know that you're actually human and you can be part of discussions like these. You know, you can interact with other people looking to break into the industry, and a lot of our guests are in there too. So it's a really cool group. Giovanna writes, looking for some words of wisdom and advice. I have an interview with an organization that I would really love to work for, but the role is in a department that is not my first choice. She'd really love to work in community relations or marketing. I could see myself excelling, learning, and growing in the role that I'm interviewing for, but wanted to know if anyone has had success in changing departments or roles once they're in an organization. Should I? Okay, so let's get into that. Giovanna, great question. The simple answer is yes, and we're going to go into a lot more detail, but yes, get in the door with the great organization you want to work for, even if it isn't the ideal role. And there's a lot of reasons for this, but let's do this first, okay? First, when you're in the organization, you have a chance to prove yourself. You have a chance to show your true abilities. You have a chance to show how you fit culturally. You have a chance to tell your story to everyone who works there. And that means management and staff across the entire organization. Once you're there and you are building your own reputation within the industry and building your personal brand and showing up on time and performing your duties to the best of your abilities, it puts you in a really good position of strength within the organization. You start to get known and talked about, and you know, achieving all of your goals and being someone who's an overachiever and everything, like, that is way more powerful than standing on the outside waiting for that opening for an entry-level job in the community relations or marketing role. Like, just if you're sitting at your house waiting for that job to open up with your ideal organization, well, who do you think's, if there's somebody already in the building, like, let's just play this out. You don't take this job. You sit at home, you're looking for other jobs or whatever, and somebody else took the job. And they're in there proving themselves every day. They're in there showing up on time and working hard and networking and all these other things that we're going to talk about. And you're not. And then the job for a marketing coordinator opens up, or a community relations associate comes up. Well, who do you think is going to have a better opportunity? That person already on the inside, making inroads, proving themselves, or you, who they've never met or seen or heard from before? The other person does, that has the job. Very simple, but right, get in there, make your first impression. It's really important. Number two, I want you to understand the philosophy of managers. Promotions and opportunities often come from within. Okay, so when I was in charge of hiring at Fox Sports Northwest, I would try to, when I had positions open up, I'd about half the time try to promote from within and about half the time get somebody from the outside. Now, why is that relevant? Well, if half the time I'm trying to hire somebody from within, why am I doing that? Well, it's because I want to send a message to the entire staff that if you work hard and you achieve, you will get an opportunity to grow, right? You'll get an opportunity to grow and take on new challenges and promote and grow your career here. You can stay here and be here. That's how you retain staff. That's how you retain your good people. You give them promotions. You build them up from within. So if you're in the building and you're working and you got a chance to really show your stuff off, when an opportunity comes up, you're in first position. You are going to be acknowledged, recognized, and they're going to know you're a proven commodity. So you will have a first line opportunity to be promoted from within. It's much easier to get a job from within than it is to be coming in from the outside. If you're coming in from the outside, so that 50% of people that I hired from the outside, well, you're competing with 100 other people that threw in their applications. If I'm promoting from within, it might be, I don't know, 1, 2, 3 people who might be viable for this role, who would be good people to promote. If you put yourself in that position, your odds just got a lot better. If you're one of those top people that are viable for a promotion, your position just got a lot stronger. Number three, when you get this job and when you're in the building, network within the building. Network with the other departments. Get to know all these people in a social and a professional manner. That's a huge advantage. Okay, so your goal then is to do your job first, be very focused on what your role is, but get to know people in the community relations department. Maybe volunteer on a weekend. Maybe offer to, you know, do a little extra with them. maybe, you know, do you all these opportunities, but first get to know the people, get to understand what their role is like, get smarter about it. You can really learn how this organization operates and what their philosophy is on community relations and what their philosophy is on marketing and how the different departments break down and who responds to who and who reports to who. It's going to make you much smarter when that opportunity does arrive. You're going to know the people who are in decision-making roles. You're going to have a relationship with them in some degree. You're really going to understand the department. So you're getting a kickstart on all your research, because you know how it works better than anybody coming from the outside, right? So as you network and research and understand the role, you're getting stronger. You're getting much stronger. Number four, do your job first. So you, let's say, I think I saw a follow-up that said that this role would be in sales and you really want to be in community relations or marketing. So you're going to have assignments for your to-do list, your things you're expected to do as part of the sales department. Do all those first, 100% focused. You know, really be on top of that. Your job first is to do it, right? That first thing, but then go extra, right? Do your job, make yourself available to all these people that you're networking with, volunteer, offer to do weekend work, offer to do extra night work. If they have some community relation event coming up, volunteer to be involved. If the marketing team is doing some special promotion, I volunteer to be involved. You know, just get out there and be visible to the people that are decision-making roles within the departments you want to get in. And the fifth one, and I find this to be really, really, really super important, okay, which is part of why I left it for the fifth one, speak your truth. Don't be afraid to let people know what you want. Now, here's the deal. I want to be very nuanced about this. You are very specific, okay? When you are interviewing for this job, it's all about this job. Right? You're not telling them, oh, well, I really want to work in community relations and marketing. No, you're focused on this role. People want to hire somebody that want this role, right? So you're all in for this sales job or whatever it is that this role is at this organization. That's your focus. That's your only focus. But once you get in there and you start doing your best and you start to establish yourself and you start to, you know, be visible to other people in other departments, you should be vocal about your career path, your dreams, and where you want to head within the organization. I remember just talking to Celia Busa, the director of ESPN Next, just recently, in a great episode that everybody should go back and listen to if you haven't already. And she said she wants people who advocate for themselves and who will say what interests them and where they want to go and what they want next, because nobody else is going to do that for you. So how this works, let's take this from a very tactical standpoint. Do not go around behind your boss's back. You're going to have a boss in the sales department. Everything kind of goes through them first. You can still network and you still get to know other people within the organization, but don't go telling another department, hey, you know what? What I'd really like to do is I'd really like to work in marketing. Talk to your boss first, because think about it. Your boss is going to be really offended if you're sneaking around trying to get into a different department without just coming to them first. Have a relationship with them where you can go and talk to them and say, look, I love what I'm doing here. I'm totally focused and all in. But I will tell you, I hope to someday work in the community relations department. So I'm going to put in a little bit of extra work over there. I'm going to do some extra stuff on my own time. I'm going to volunteer over there. Or I really want to work in marketing and I'm going to be, you know, doing this and doing that or whatever. And I think it's really important to me to eventually, that's the direction I want to head. If you do this in a respectful manner and you talk to your boss in this fashion and let them know your goals in life and where you want to head, they're going to become your advocate. They're going to look for those opportunities to help you. They might even let you like, hey, I know you're supposed to be doing these X, Y, and Z things today, but there's this cool thing going on over in community relations I want you to go help out in. I'm telling you, bosses do this. They want their people to stay. They're good people. They want them to stay. They want them to be happy. They want them to thrive. So be one of the good people first. Be one of those people that it makes yourself invaluable at the organization, and then start looking for ways to have a conversation with your boss. And I'm not saying in the first couple months, I'm saying like after 6 to 8 months where you've really started to prove yourself and done a great job, start to have that open dialogue with your boss and say, eventually this is the direction I'd like to go. I'll do some extra opportunities on my own time and just let it be known so that then when an opportunity does come up, they might even be the one to tell you and say, look, there's a marketing coordinator role opening up. I'm going to put in a good word for you. So again, be respectful, talk to your boss first, and then, you know, talk to other departments when opportunities come up. All right, Giovanna, I think that gives you a pretty robust answer. And for my anybody else who's questioning about the handshake situations with coronavirus and all that's going on in the world right now, I think these are very rational conversations to have. And you know what? Keep it going further than that, too. It's not just a rational relationship conversation to have in this moment. These questions of making right choices based on what's most important for the long run for you versus offending somebody else, I think is an important filter to put on your decision-making processes. So, embrace that. Really embrace that. All right. Coming up on Wednesday, Dan Duquette, former GM of the Baltimore Orioles, Boston Red Sox, and Montreal Expos. We had a very interesting conversation. We talked a lot about scouting. We talked a lot about running a front office. We talked a lot about player development and a new course that he's developing with our friends at Sports Management Worldwide. Very interesting stuff. So tune into that on Wednesday. And for now, everybody get back to work.